and the scribbling goes on.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Roald Tweet.
And I'm Don Wooten. Our guest today is Hedy Hufstedy, who is information librarian at the Bettendorf Public Library. Garrison Keillor visits next with the Writer's Almanac on Scribble.
Hedy, I understand that you began at the Bettendorf Library in 1986, is that right?
That's right.
As on the circulation desk for 3 hours a week?
Yes, I'd been a volunteer before that.
Okay, and then how in the world did you end up being in charge of all the stuff you're in charge of at the library, all the extra programs that the library does that almost dwarfs its book collection?
Well, over the course of more than 20 years, I did go to the University of Iowa School of Library Science and got my master's degree. So that enabled me to work at the information desk. And part of the information desk job for many of us has become programming. So I had a lot of ideas for programming, and the administration let me run with a lot of them, which I really appreciate and I'm excited about every year.
So are these all things you have thought up and just gotten permission, or do people suggest programs to you?
Both. But a lot of my colleagues also do programming now as well.
You know, this represents a real change in libraries.
It does.
It used to be it was very quiet. You went in, you read books, and now it's like a performance center.
Well, when we added on to our library a decade or so ago, we did add big meeting rooms. Just for that purpose, for the community and for us to use, just for programming. Our newest space is the Creation Studio, which is making things.
Now, who comes in and makes things?
Well, we have resident artists.
Okay.
They've made pottery in there. We're going to have somebody do chip carving and knife making in there this fall.
You've got that does bring up one of the reasons you're here at the particular time you're here, and that is a huge program that's taking place during September and October with tons of book discussions and readings and lectures and dancers. Can you talk a little bit about that? What's coming up at the library?
Well, it's called Global Gathering Norway. It's something that we started in 2006. We took a country or a region of the world and learned about it. We especially like to learn about places where there was an organization in the Quad Cities. In the case of Global Gathering Norway, we are working with the Sons of Norway, an organization that is national, but there is a lodge here in the Quad Cities. And so it's just awareness of the culture, the literature, the heritage, the arts, everything we can learn about Norway in the two-month time period. We've got about 40 programs almost that are going to take place, and my boss said, no more. We can't fit any more in. I've got some more, but I'll stop.
Well, this is your chance, Roald, to find out something about yourself.
Well, yeah, I was discussing with her before this recording, the difference between Norwegian-American culture and Norwegian culture, and they have diverged in different directions.
Uh-huh.
You know, both claim to be authentic, but
I can't imagine you claiming to be authentic, Roald.
One of the interesting things you're doing is a number of books, many of which are by Norwegian mystery writers. Were these books that you selected?
Yeah, I pretty much selected these. They are all written by Norwegians. Hunger by Knut Hamsun,
right,
who won the Nobel Prize for Literature. Kristin Lovren's daughter. That's a trilogy. We're reading the first part of it called The Wreath by Sigrid Undset, who also won the Nobel Prize for Literature for Norway. And then a more contemporary one called Outstealing Horses by Per Pettersson.
That's a good book.
I have not read it yet.
It is strange. But it gives you a real sense of Norway during World War II, during the occupation. Even though it has very little to do with the actual war, the psychological effects of being occupied is really plays a big part in that book.
I'm really looking forward to discussing those. When we do the global gatherings, I try to get scholars to lead the book discussions. So some of your colleagues from Augustana College are going to be leading those.
Well,
also,
did they help you select the books, or did you? I mean, who selected Joel Nesbø, for instance? Was that you?
Well, that is part of the mystery discussion group,
yes,
which I had started.
Okay.
And every year I come up with a list, a big bibliography, and the group looks at the list and they vote on which ones they want. So I had several mystery authors from Norway, and they chose from those. My group chose.
Oh, okay. Okay, because you've got, among the mystery writers, you've got Joel Nesbø, who is really dark and grim.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's hard to read. If you think the Swedish detective stories are grim, try Joel Nesbø. But then you've got Anne Holt, too, who is just a beautiful writer, but a little odd in a way. And then Karen Fossum.
Yes.
So you've got a really good... So this is a mystery group that gets together?
Yes, we read mysteries and discuss them once a month on Saturdays.
Okay.
This whole session runs what, September through October?
The mystery book discussion group.
No, I mean the whole Norwegian project.
The Norwegian project is all of September and October, yes.
And does that run every day, or do you have two or three events?
Well, we have a brochure that people can go to our website and click on Global Gathering Norway and see the whole brochure with all the dates. We also have hard copies of the brochure at the library, and I'm going to see if I can get them in the other libraries in the area. And they can come into the library, or they can call and ask us. It's on our calendar of events.
You must have a lot of fun, Hetty.
I do have a lot of fun. I love this programming.
Yeah, I can tell that. And you say you have some that you can't fit in.
Well, I went to a Sons of Norway meeting. Roald was there, too. And the person behind me said, "Hey, do you have anyone demonstrating rosemaling?" And I said, "Well, no. We have rosemaling on display in showcases at the library." But he said, "I'd be willing to." And so... we're not going to be able to squeeze him in September and October, so look for him in November.
But this also involves a big display of Norwegian items.
Yes, right? It does.
Things that people have brought over from Norway or have inherited. So there's going to the whole library is going to be Norwegian. What effect does all of this programming that you do have on the regular book collection? Do you think does it increase circulation, or is this just an additional? I mean, how does it tie in with the original idea of what a library was?
Something that's really important to me is marketing the collection.
Okay.
So when I have a program, I will always have a bibliography that goes with that program that tells you what materials are in the library that are related to that program. Lots of times I'll have displays that I will bring to the program, and it'll be there in the room somewhere, items that people can check out. We're having a band song fest for Banned Books Week in September, right in the middle of Global Gathering Norway. But we have to do something for Banned Books Week. We're a library. At the end of the program, I'm going to have a bibliography of items in the library, music that is going to be played that evening, banned songs.
So does your audience for these programs, not just this one, but all the programs you do they come from all over the Quad Cities, or is this a Bettendorf thing? Or don't you know?
I don't know for sure, but I know that some of them do come from all over the Quad Cities. Probably it's primarily Bettendorf because they are more likely to hear about it. But we do have lots of people from all over the Quad Cities as well. And they come in, they're our patrons. I mean, I'm at the information desk, and so when I put books on hold for people or something, I can see where they're from. And, yeah, we have people
from
all over.
Well, I've been over to programs where that big room is packed.
Yeah.
With people. I mean, you really do get a turnout that a lot of libraries would kill for.
You know, I've noticed that it seems to me that the Bettendorf Library has been far more active, proactive, really, in this, I won't call it a transition, but certainly it's an evolution of what libraries do and what they are. And it seems that Bettendorf really got out front in this. And other libraries are doing it as well, but you have an overwhelming program.
Well, thank you, Don.
Yeah, it's just, I have to say that I've been on some of them. So.
Right.
But how do you keep it all straight? I mean, I've talked to people in museums and places where we have displays. I talked to the music director of the Quad City Symphony. They're always 2 or 3 years out in the future. It's not just that they're completely taken up with what's in front of them, but they're constantly looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you keep all that straight? Or how far ahead do you work?
Well, you have to be an organized person.
Oh, well, I'm out of that game right now.
Well, it's fun to think ahead. I mean, my favorite thing is actually to plan the things. It's almost more fun to plan them than to actually be there in some ways, because when it's actually taking place, you're always worried about whether, you know, is this mm-hmm. really going to come off? Are people really going to come? Is it really going to be a success? But planning is my favorite thing, and I love to plan far out if I can.
So you've looked at the country beyond Norway for next year?
Well, now we do it every 2 years.
Every 2 years.
Because it takes so much time, and we plan so many programs that, mm-hmm. so probably the next one, if we keep on doing it, will be 2017.
Yeah.
And I have my own ideas for that already, which I'm already collecting for, but we're going to vote on that too, so.
Oh, it's democratic.
Yes, it's all democratic.
But that's...
if we don't do that, we'll do something else. I can assure you of that.
Yeah. Well, you have this big program in Norway, and you have programs that are regular. They go right along. What are
yes.
some of those that are regularly recurring every month or whenever?
Well, as we said, the Mystery Book Discussion Group, the Contemporary Books Discussion Group, also, that's been going since 1960. I'm really proud of that group. It's probably one of the oldest library book discussion groups in the Quad Cities. There's a new one, relatively new. It's called Get Lit. It's a book discussion group also that meets at Dunn Brothers Coffee once a month on Tuesday evenings. And that's run by a colleague of mine, Courtney Walters. Tracks from the Stacks is something that... runs every month from September through May, where they talk about music. They talk about music that the library owns. And they've also gotten people to come in, like Lodro Russo came in and talked about the music that inspired her and played bits and pieces of it and also played a little herself. So that is something relatively new that my colleague Lucas Burns is in charge of. Read Local, I don't know if you know about that. That's a partnership with the Midwest Writing Center where we feature a local author. And we do that 6 times a year where they come in and...
Sal Marisi was just on there.
Yes, he was the latest one.
He has been on Scribble, too, and talked about that.
Mm-hmm. And in October, we're going to have Kelly Daniels, who you might know from Augustana.
Yeah.
So those are just some of the regular programs that we have going all the time. And Senior Day continues.
Well, I don't know how you get it all in. I really don't. There are only 7 days in a week,
right.
and you're not open seven
days.
Yeah,
and days, I haven't mentioned everything either.
You don't think of, at least people of my age, don't think of a library as such a beehive of activity.
You weren't supposed to speak in a library except in a whisper, right? And then only if you were checking a book out.
Yeah, that's right. And to go from that, which I remember going into the hushed atmosphere, I remember entering the main Memphis library for the first time, the Temple of Knowledge, and I had the key, a library card. And furthermore, I could get into the stacks. That was one of the most thrilling experiences of my life.
I loved going into our little public library, which was in the basement of the courthouse, and it couldn't have had many books, but even I had a library card when I was 7 or 8, and just the smell of books. You know, e-books aren't going to smell like books ever.
Right? Oh, that's true. If they do, it's something burning, and you don't want that.
Yeah. But there's something about a real book, right, that you hold in your hand and not press a button and go to the next page.
Well, you get into electronic books too, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you can check out electronic books from our library for free. Well, the other thing that's changed, of course, is access to computers. We have about 30 computers that people can use.
Wow.
And they are extremely busy all day long. So that's another way that libraries have changed.
It is amazing.
I don't get so many what you would call pure information questions or pure research questions anymore. A lot of it is reader's advisory. Can you suggest a book, or do you have this book? You know, or how do I use this device?
Right, yeah.
Stuff like that.
Well, I read a quote somewhere about you can get 100,000 answers from the internet,
right?
But you can get the correct one from the library.
Right.
Yes, I love that. That's a wonderful quotation.
Well, that
and that's so true, because we always have to have our source.
I was going to say, you have to be ready to back that up all the
yes,
time.
Yes, we do.
So you work as an information librarian, but you share a lot of duties. Doesn't everyone in the library kind of bicycle around and do different things?
Well, yeah, all our job descriptions are and duties as assigned.
So you never know
when something's going to change or something else comes up or something new is thought of that one of us is going to be in charge of or have to help out with.
Mm-hmm. And you've never lost your enthusiasm?
Not yet, but the light's at the end of the tunnel. I'm getting older, so I am looking at complete freedom in a couple of years. So,
Hetty, I'll tell you, I've had that complete freedom since 2003,
right.
And here I am.
Uh-huh.
Same with role.
I have lots of volunteer opportunities that I'm looking at that I would love to do. So, and I will be just as enthusiastic about those as I am about my library job.
Hetty Huffstedy is never going to slow down. Information librarian at the Bettendorf Public Library. She's been our guest today. Thank you very much, Hetty.
Well, you're welcome.
It's been fun to visit. And here's a guy who's always kind of fun to talk to, Garrison Keillor.